everyone. Let's stand up to our feet as we read together. Why are we here? Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all ready? Okay. Why are we here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promise to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule. Amen? All right, all right. Now, let's read this scripture as follows. It's Psalms 119, 105 through 112. It reads as follows. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised, Lord.
Lord,
accept my offering of
praise and teach me your regulations.
My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Small prayer, and we will get on with our service. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for us all having the opportunity of being here today to serve you again. Mm-hmm. Lord, we ask that what we do lift you up in the highest of the highest possible ways. Lord, we ask that we do what you want us to do and do it the way you want it done. We ask these blessings in your Son Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, since we're reading the Psalms, let's sing the Psalms.
Clean heart so that I
Good morning.
Good morning.
Alrighty. So, just a few announcements for you all. I have a card that I need to read. And of course, it's addressed to Running for Christ Ministries. And it says, RFCM, thanks for our gifts. Amen. This is from Darius and Malachi. Yeah. Amen. We all know the wonderful things that those two young men did going into a burning house and saving someone. So we know that we're not the only ones thankful for those two young men. Amen. 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 So, all right. So, United Sisters of the United Assemblies of Detroit presents the 90th Annual Bible Conference Women's Fellowship. And the title is Jesus Still Building His Church? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. Amen. So, the speaker is our awesome Pastor Janice Tate, amen, from Run for Christ Ministries. This is taking place next Saturday. Is Saturday next Saturday, October 1st? Next Saturday, October 1st. The breakfast begins at 9:30 a.m. No breakfast. Never mind. Come with a full belly. The program begins at 11 a.m. And this is at Berean Chapel, 8422 Pembroke Avenue in Detroit. Praise team will be leading in worship, and Janice will be doing her thing. Amen. So support if you're able to. Don't take the flyer, but it will be on the back table. And if you want to participate, just snap a picture and be there at 11 a.m. Amen. All right. So we have a flyer here for KIPP Detroit Imani Academy, now enrolling for kindergarten. So this is a school that wants little babies. All right. So be a part of our founding class. Amen. To enroll your child for the 22-23 school year, please visit our website or scan the QR code on the back here. And it says refer a kindergartner who mentions your name in the interest form and you'll receive a gift card. Any students who will be 5 years old by December 1st, 2022 is kindergarten eligible. So they want babies. They want the kindergartners, and it's their founding class because this is a new school. Amen. So it's located at 19321 West Chicago in Detroit. There's one flyer. It will be on the back table. If you want to, oh, I think there's a stack of them actually back there. So just grab one, and if you know any little babies that are going to be turning 5 by December 1st, they can be a part of the founding class of this new school. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Sunday school begins up here at 9 a.m. for the adults, and the children's church begins downstairs at 10 a.m. Amen. Don't forget, every Sunday at 4 o'clock, our deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. So, don't forget to tune in and give her your support on that. Our new class, Church History, is Mondays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pastor is not playing about that 7 p.m. time. I think we might have went 5 minutes over this week, but that's all good. Pastor O is the teacher. The textbook for the class is The Church That Jesus Christ Built, and it is written by Pastor O. You can get your book by visiting Pastor O's website, www.pastorgmo.com, or you can see Sister Sheila in the back, and she'll make sure to get you a book. If for whatever reason you can't attend any of the live classes, all of the classes are recorded and posted on our church website, rfcm.org. Just go to the Bible classes link, click on church history, the history of the Christian church, I'm sorry, recorded, and then you can listen to it at a time that's more convenient for you. Amen?
Amen.
Also, every Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio, Bible reading class, questions available by email if you're on pastor's email list. If not, you can go online, rfcm.org, click on Bible classes. If you're in church on Sunday, the questions are at the back table. You can always get those on the church website, if not, and be ready to participate. I believe Kathy is doing Isaiah 36 to 40.
Yeah.
Yep, 36 to 40 this week. So make sure to tune in for that. Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministry, holds a women's Bible class, taught by Pastor Janice Tate. This is her class. This is her ministry. So for more information to participate, talk to Janice. Amen?
Amen.
I know you told me last week, do they call in and can be personally
don't
present?
Call in and
live. Okay, live, in person, and call in if you want to participate. Amen? So just see Janice and she'll give you all that. If you want to pay your tithes and give any offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Click on tithes and offerings. And so we just want to say in advance, Lord Jesus, bless you for your kindness in sharing with us and with everyone else that we're able to help through your consistent and generous giving. Again, also don't forget to check the church website, again, rfcm.org. Pastor has put a lot of work into our website, and it has come a very long way.
Yes,
we got a new logo, we got fancy stuff, there's a list of jobs, and you can get whatever you need, whatever resources you need are on the website. We know Pastor puts tons of time into that. So go bless yourself on purpose and make sure to check it out. Amen? On purpose. All right. We always want to shout out all of our mothers here at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. We always have at least one mom on Sundays holding it down for all of the mothers every Sunday. Mother Marilyn is not here today. We gonna speak it, but Mother Irma ain't made it yet. Amen. But Mother Persia is here. Amen. And we know Mother Cheryl is pulling triple, quadruple duty. So just always remember to keep all of our mothers in prayer, as well as all of our Run for Christ Ministry members in prayer. And a prayer list will be forthcoming during our altar call. Amen. All right, so birthdays. I got a new birthday added to my list last week. Edward Johnson. Amen. Celebrated his birthday on September the 1st. And Mother Persia on the 2nd, Pastor O's daughter Dion on the 5th, Torin on the 7th, Deacon Ollie on the 11th, Deacon Mackey on the 12th, Deacon Tate on the 14th, TJ on the 17th, Pastor on the 18th, Nakia on the 21st, and Deaconess Kathy on the 22nd. Lord have mercy. Happy birthday to everybody. Hope y'all had cake and all that good stuff. Amen. And so, yeah, those are my announcements. Oh, and the birthday song. Sing
it's
together.
The fourth Sunday birthday song.
Fourth,
you know
it? Is it fourth
yes.
Sunday?
It's the last Sunday, so we got to sing
Sunday.
It.
Last
Sarah,
Sunday,
come on up
song.
Here. I'm still teaching them.
I like
so for all of you who had birthdays in September, oh, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Each day of the year, may you find Jesus near. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May his love, peace, and blessing shower you. Oh, yeah. May his love, peace, and blessing shower you.
All right, so since y'all had birthdays this month, you're ready for giving and offering. If you need some assistance, deacons are available to get your basket. For the rest of you all, stand to your feet. This is the Junior Praise Team Leader's first favorite song right here.
See.
The sound of the trumpet.
worthy to be praised. I mean, think about it, y'all. When we think about we're going to altar call and our pastor is going to come right now, as you're praying, remember, you have much to praise the Lord for. I have much to praise the Lord for.
Yes, yes. Because
we're not like the folks in Puerto Rico and Dominica and Canada and Alaska and you just name it. We're not like the people in Iran and Russia and Ukraine. We're not like the people who are in Henry Ford Wyandotte or Maine or Beaumont.
Yes, 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 say that.
Or at Andrews or Clora.
Oh, watch it.
Because we're not, we can take this list to the Lord.
Okay, thank you.
And remember them in prayer. So join in our pastor as he prays aloud, but we go on the throne together.
Okay, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Are y'all ready to trust God?
Yeah.
And turn that stuff over. You had all week to work on it. I don't know how long you've been working on it, right, or working at it, right? But are you ready to really get that thing over? Are you ready to stop snatching it back off the table and say, well, hold up, Jesus. I'm going to work with it just a little bit more. I'm going to stay up all night. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to be anxious all day, and I'm going to use my anxiety power to figure it out.
Yeah.
Amen. There comes a point in time when we have to turn it over to God.
Okay.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. And yes, we do praise your holy name. And yes, Father, as Pastor Tate has said, there's stuff going on, not just here in America, but all over the world, Canada and everywhere else is suffering. Floods are happening all over the place. There haven't been that many hurricanes, Lord, but disasters, just like you said, are all over the place. But we're happy this morning. I know, Lord, that sounds funny to some, but you told us when we see all these things happening that we should rejoice. Because our redemption, our Lord and Savior Jesus, about to get up off of that throne that you told him to sit in until you make his enemies a footstool. He's about to get up off of that throne one of these days, and the whole church is going to be raptured up out of this world. But Lord, until that happens, we just want to thank you for having been so awesome to us that no matter what we've been through, no matter how many high hills we had to climb, no matter how many low, lonely valleys we had to sit in, you met us wherever we were. We thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd. Lord, we were so blessed when Sarah preached Psalm 23 and she dissected every little piece of that prayer.
Amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are that kind of God. Amen. Who is intimately involved with your people.
Yeah.
You're not that aloof God, that God that requires, like on Mount Carmel, all kinds of ways to try to get you to show up and respond. All we have to do is, like Elijah, just know what you said, believe what you said, pray to you what you said, and then wait for what you said to happen.
Amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you give us your word in such a way that it encourages us right now, as you said in Hebrews 11 and 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your word gives us hope, things to hope for. And Father, even though we don't yet possess it, it becomes the evidence of things that we don't even see yet. But because you said it, we know we can get it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you gave us your word so that we wouldn't be down here trying to figure out how to get in touch with you, doing this and doing that, going here and going there, this religious act, that religious act. But Jesus, when you were here, you told us, say, when we pray, say, Our Father, and then you guided us all the way through the prayer. You told us we hallow his name by letting his will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And once that's done, Father, then we can look to you to supply us with food. We know that you'll guide our feet so that we don't stray away into temptation. Your word will be a lamp and a light to our path so we can see where we're going and walk safely. And we know, Heavenly Father, at the end of this whole thing, that we will dwell in your house forever.
Okay.
We thank you, Father, for this encouragement, because in this world we face trials and tribulations, Jesus, just like you said. But we are of good cheer because we know that you're an overcomer, and through you we are overcomers. We know the obstacles will come. We know that trouble will come. But we're not worried about it. We're not anxious about it. We're not depressed about it. We're not sad about it. Because we already know that you have already prepared a way for us to get out. Okay. When Israel was in slavery in Egypt, not one of them knew that you would take them through the Red Sea to the wilderness. Not one of them knew that you would keep them while they were in the wilderness. Not one of them knew that you would make them strong enough to fight with Sihon and Og. Not one of them knew that you had the power, even though they came through the Red Sea to cross a flooded Jordan River. Not one of them knew that they left Egypt without any tools to do any kind of construction work, but you made the walls of Jericho fall just by them praising you, being obedient to your word. Yeah. Those are great lessons for us today, Father, to learn how to live for you in this present day, in these present times. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray for our government, that one day they would recognize their need for you. Mm-hmm. And we especially pray for those, Jesus, who say they're Christians.
All right.
But they have made some ideology their kingdom. Mm-hmm. They have made some party their kingdom. But Father, as Dr. Tony Evans calls himself, we are kingdom independents. And we vote for the one who's most likely closest to your values, what the word says.
Okay.
So we pray for our government and all those who work in it, and again, especially those who name the name of Jesus.
Right.
We pray, Heavenly Father, for this people sitting right here. These are your people, called by your name.
Yes.
They have come here, Heavenly Father, filled with hope and filled with praise, filled with thanksgiving. They have come here for a word, so let the word go forward, Father, and let them receive it and live it out in their everyday life. If those on this list, Father, I know you know this list. You're intimately aware and familiar with everybody on that list. And we thank you, Lord, right now that you are not a God who does not care, because you told us to cast those cares on that list to you, because you care for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray and expect to believe, expect to receive what we believe.
Amen.
According to your word. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
When I come to his presence, how
do. I worship Him. Of the Most High God, and thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us. Yes. introducing us to the Father, for making a way where we can connect with God. Woo, Jesus. Thank you, praise and worship. Woo, this is holy ground. This is set up for this feast we're about to get. Now, if you didn't get a chance to tune in yesterday, make sure that you tune in or go and listen to Pastor's teaching on patience, endurance, prayer. He preached from James chapter 5. And I don't know, Pastor. Let me make sure I get it right. Sister Bathsheba. I actually wrote it down. He was saying, so you don't think I'm talking about you. But you were talking about us, because you know what? All of us can benefit from that message. All right. So Pastor's going to continue on in the teaching men in the Bible. Today he's going to talk about the Apostle Paul. He's asked me to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. It is written, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ ministry family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome to all here and those listening through our broadcast on Blog Talk Radio." Did you hear what I just read? It was like Paul was giving a victory speech. I came across a race car quote from a movie where the character said, "To finish the race first, you must first finish the race." Make no mistake, y'all, no matter what it looks like, we are in a race. But the thing is, we already won. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. And just like Paul, we don't have to wait until we're on the other side to celebrate that victory. We are soldiers in training in an ongoing battle to win souls for Christ Jesus. And Pastor Gerald M. Overall, who just turned 1 year older, God has given us a leader to illuminate his mighty word. Pastor O, we got something we want to say to you.
Yeah.
We encourage you with the words God gave to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, y'all, repeat this battle cry after me. Pastor O!
Pastor O!
Break it down for us.
Break it down.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Rogers. Appreciate that. Now, y'all know it's her fault, right?
She told me to be strong and crazy. Praise the Lord. She don't ask me to do something I can't do. She asked me to do what I can do. Amen. Be strong and crazy. I can do that. Amen. And outrageous. I can do all that. Amen. How's everybody feel this morning?
Good.
And the whole house lied. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Like, ooh. Amen. Amen. God bless. Let us pray. Yeah, I was told to wear. I mean, I picked these out.
I know how you do it, brother. That's how.
Man, let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together one more time. Jesus, we love you because no matter what Satan tried to do to us all week long, and even the stuff we do to ourselves,
yes,
none of it is able to keep us from coming and giving you what you deserve. And that's some awesome praise and worship.
Yes, yes.
You are the true and living God. You are the only God. There is no such thing as Allah or no, none of them Hindu gods or any other thing a person calls God. But you are God, and you are God alone, and you have declared that to be the truth.
Yes.
In Isaiah 43, 44, and 45, and in many other places, you've challenged other gods if they're there to show up. And then you told them to do what you did. And Father, they didn't show up, just like they didn't show up on Mount Carmel out there with Elijah. And they didn't show up when you made the challenge. So you are the true and living God. There is truly none besides you.
Bless us this morning, Father, to discover Paul and the work that you did through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
At first, I was supposed to last Sunday, but I'm going to do it this Sunday. Okay. I want to thank Assistant Pastors Janice Tate for the Women's Month. It was awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Jonathan Tate for men's. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to thank Pastor Terrence Tate for holding it down when I had to do some other things. He took over, preached 4 times in 2 months. Amen. Amen. So we praise God for that. Amen. Because y'all know me, I will delegate. If I can, I'll let you do it. Praise the Lord. I feel like better you than me. Did that come? That ain't come out right, did it? Did not come out right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So to hear your word today.
So to hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word.
I want it to dwell richly in my spirit. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. Amen. See, if God's word gets in, amen, it takes over. If you read the Bible, if you study Christian history, the last thing you want to do is try to own God, because he will own you. Amen. I love that about him. That's why I love Christian history, because as you go through history, you see one nation, one group, one denomination after another try to own God. What God does is own them. In the end, that ends up what's happening. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Last week, we talked about Peter, the disciple slash apostle. You'll find him prominently displayed throughout all 4 of the Gospels. Also, you'll find him through the first 15 chapters of the book of Acts. He really is an apostle to the Jews, okay? His move toward the Gentiles, opening up the door to the Gentiles, comes in chapter 10 when he goes down to Cornelius' house. Amen, the centurion. And he leads them to Christ. He didn't have no choice but to accept them, Keaton, because the Lord gave him the Holy Spirit even before he stopped preaching. Even before he said, now the door to the church is open, Jesus slammed the door wide open and brought the Gentiles in, filling them with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
We find Peter again in Acts chapter 11. You got to explain that. Why? Because the word of God has gone to the Gentiles. And what I don't want you to miss is the people he had to explain this to had come into the church. And they were concerned that Peter was slighting Judaism. Amen?
Amen?
So when Peter gave his explanation, everybody in that crowd didn't say amen. Somebody said, we'll see about that. I don't know about that. So Peter goes off the pages of Bible history. At the close of the book of Acts, you don't find him no more. We looked at some Roman historians and Jewish historians. We talked about people, I don't know if I mentioned Eusebius. He was a historian. He tells us what happened. We have Tacitus, the Roman historian. He tells us what happened to Peter. And we have Flavius Josephus. Yes, Alice's mama named him that, and he had to go to school with that name. That's why he became a historian. They teased him so much, Marcus, he's like, I'm just going to be a historian. The kind of person don't hang around people but know all about people. Because every time somebody said, what's your name, Nicole, he said, Flavius Josephus.
Wow.
See what I'm saying? That's the way that went, usually. But it's from these people that we find out what happened after the book of Acts closes. Because if not, Peter's gone after 15. What happened? Amen.
So Peter is responsible for the birth. He's there at the birth. Not responsible, Jesus is, but he's there at the birth. He's responsible for the growth. How many people joined the church after the sermon? 3,000. By chapters 5 and 6, they get to 5,000. Okay, so he's involved with thousands of Jews, mostly Jews, and converts to Judaism. Pastor O, what is a convert to Judaism? I'm glad you asked me that, Chris. When God gave Abraham the rite of circumcision, he also said, somebody who is not born a Jew wants to become one of you. They have to take on the rite of circumcision and take on all the dietary Jewish laws and everything else, right? Then they can join the club. They want a view. So Peter's audience then were those folks, God-fearers. What you say here? What is a God-fearer? A God-fearer is somebody who liked Judaism. Okay, they liked Judaism, but they hadn't quite taken the prerequisite rite of circumcision. So they're not really a Jew, right? But they do like what they hear. They do appreciate the thought of a monotheistic God. They appreciated monotheism, one God. Because in that culture, there were a multitude, a plethora of gods. They were polytheists. They were believers in many gods. And then to this audience, Peter starts to preach the word. Amen? Now Peter goes off the scene. A new man comes on the scene. Because the Lord said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive power. Okay, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Peter. I want you to go to Judea, Peter. And I want you to go to Samaria, Peter. And he literally went to all those places. But then he says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's not Peter. Peter was in the confines of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And as far as he went to the uttermost parts of the earth, was with Cornelius, the centurion. But Paul, or Saul, with Peter, we started when Jesus called him and followed him through his Christian life and saw his meteoric rise to where he comes out in the book of Acts, lead 3,000 people to Christ. But Paul is different. We start at the end of his life. It's AD 67. He's writing the book of 2 Timothy. Some call it his swan song, his soliloquy, because shortly after this, he'll be dispatched. How do we get to where Paul is? To find that out, we got to go back to where Paul started. But his name is not Paul, his name is Saul. He has a Jewish Romanized name. Some say it was Saul Paulus, right? Saul being his Jewish name and Paulus being his Romanized name. Paul grows up in Cilicia, Tarsus, modern day Turkey. So he grows up among Gentiles. Even though, if you read Philippians chapter 3, he is a staunch Jew. He is a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Amen? Somebody who is zealous for God's law. Somebody who is a lover of Judaism. Amen? A sustainer of Judaism. Paul comes in the scene in Acts chapter following Acts chapter 6 and 7, one of those six who were picked to become, who would later become deacons in the church, Stephen.
the eruption. See, Christianity at this time is thought to be a subsidiary of Judaism. Because if you read those first 12 chapters, you'll see they continuously go into the temple. So they look like an offshoot of Judaism. But as you move through the chapters, you move through time, they are beginning to look like something different from Judaism. They're about to become a standalone religion. And Paul has recognized them as a threat to Judaism.
Okay.
As a threat to the Word of God. They're claiming that there is some man named Jesus. And they're claiming that this man named Jesus, especially Peter, says he has seen the risen Savior. Okay? Peter is claiming that Jesus is risen from the dead, but Paul, being a part of the Pharisees, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he belonged to what he calls the strict order of Judaism, the conservative wing of Judaism. Now, in our Christian history class, we're going to talk about the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Essenes, because these people did not exist in the Old Testament. They came up during the intertestamental period, and they find them prominently in Judaism. They have synagogues scattered all over the place, right? And the synagogue has actually become the center of Jewish worship, more so than the temple. Because you'll read more about those synagogues in the book of Acts than you do the temple. I think the temple is in chapter 3, okay, where Peter goes down to the temple and there's a lame man there and he heals him. So that tells you that they are still going to the temple. It also says that a lot of folks liked Christianity, but were afraid to own it publicly because you would be excommunicated, barred from the synagogue. Not the temple, but the synagogue. So Paul views Peter as cancer. Paul would class Peter as a heretic, somebody preaching heresies. There's a lot of that going on today. Especially with those who call themselves the new black Jews.
Uh-oh.
We are the real Jews.
The real.
Amen. The real Jews, God's real people. And everybody else is a Gentile. And God wants us to get right first. And God wants us preachers and pastors who are qualified to go out and preach to these lost black folks, this lost house of Israel. That's a heresy. Preached by heretics. Paul views Peter as a heretic. He is distorting the Old Testament scriptures. He is saying things that the scriptures don't say. So Paul looks at him like cancer. And if we allow them to live, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. One bad apple will spoil the whole barrel. So they view Christianity as a big problem. And if we don't snuff it out, it's going to spread everywhere. Over and over and over, they're going to be accused of turning the whole world upside down with this gospel. And so Paul makes it his mission to crush them out, to wipe them out, nip this thing in the bud. And so when Stephen makes his speech to the Sanhedrin, they're, as long as he's talking about Old Testament history, they're kind of cool with it. And they're agreeing with him. But then at the end, he turns and accuses them of being murderers of Jesus Christ. And they get so angry with him that they drag him outside the city just like they did Jesus. And they get together, thank you, their communal effort, stoning. They were going to get rid of Stephen by stoning him to death. Now, if you remember, under Jesus, they told Pilate, we don't have the right to put somebody to death. Well, apparently something changed. Right. Amen. Right. Yeah, apparently they lied. Because you're over here killing this man. I ain't read nowhere where you went and asked, couldn't we kill this man? You didn't drug him out, and I'm sure there were some Roman guards there. They're all over the place, like the police, right? So they're all over the place. But now you got Stephen out here stoning them, but yesterday you said we couldn't do that. But now you can't. Paul is witness to those who are stoning them. And because he's witnessing this as a part of the Pharisees, as a part of a worker with the Sanhedrin, this sort of excuses them for what they're doing. So he stands in witness of Stephen being stoned. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that a persecution broke out against the church that day when Stephen was stoned. Paul made it his mission to become an enforcer, to crush these insurrectionists out, to get rid of these heretics, to stop it, to nip it in the bud. And so he becomes an enforcer. And he's going from house to house. And he's arresting those who believe in that name, who has become a follower or a member of the way. When they call them the way, that's a Jewish tag for, amen, that's a Jewish tag for a follower of Christ or a Christian. Amen? Okay. The sect of the Nazarene. They are the same way he was. They talk the same way he did. They're doing miracles the same way he did. But what was the belief about the miracles they saw? Did it cause them to believe? No. Why didn't they believe? Because they felt like Jesus was doing his miracles through who? The devil, right? These things are happening from this man because Satan has given him the power to do it. That's when we learned about blasphemy. That's calling the Holy Spirit a lie. Amen? So it is believed that they're doing these miracles, but it's not by God. Because you'll see, every time they ask him about it, they ask, where do these men get this power from? They don't know. They're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So they don't know where these miracle working powers is coming from. So Paul, on his mission to gather up some more Christians in foreign cities, namely Damascus, he's got letters, he's got warrants to go out and get these people in foreign cities, wherever they are, worshiping God. And so they go out to these foreign cities. He's on his way to Damascus. Yes. And while he's on his way to Damascus, he runs straight into Jesus. Yes. Amen. Jesus protects his church. And Jesus don't want to kill everybody who's fighting against the church. Amen? Okay. His mind is different. He's not like James and John who wanted to call down fire from heaven and consume folks that don't listen. Could you imagine that? The pastor feel like people ain't listening. He called down fire from heaven to consume them. Pretty soon the church be empty. And pretty soon the pastor ain't said nothing but fired and come down and consumed him too. Now Jesus got to start a whole nother church. The Lord's idea is, what if I can get this enforcer, this man who is passionate? You see, Jesus had told him in Matthew chapter 24, there will be those who think when they kill you, they're doing the will of God.
And so you have to understand that Paul was defending the faith as far as he was concerned. Even though he was an enforcer. But it's in this vocation that Jesus reached up with Paul. We all know the story. He knocked him off his horse. Amen. I don't know how it happened, but he got off that horse. Jesus prostrated him. I don't know how it happened, but he was on the ground. Jesus slapped him so hard, he couldn't see. See, our parents used to talk about slapping us in the next week. Amen. Anybody ever been told, I'm going to slap you in the next week? Amen. Jesus slapped Paul into the next year. Amen. Amen. But what does this tell us? Jesus defends his church. You remember when Janice had that reading and it said, Lord, slap my enemies in the face. Amen. Jesus said, the psalmist says, slap them in the face. Paul, pow! He slapped him like Dave Chappelle slapped Charlie Murphy. So, pow! Y'all remember when Dave Chappelle slapped Charlie Murphy? Well, y'all don't watch funny stuff. That's why y'all are so serious. Jesus slapped his sight out. I ain't never heard a parent say, I slap you blind. But Jesus, what I mean? Some scholars say it was just a light that gave him temporary blindness. I like to say he slapped his sight out that boy. He did, literally. And when Paul got up, when Paul was able to hear Jesus' voice, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What your problem is? Who do you think I am? You think as I'm seated on this throne in heaven next to my Father, why he made my enemies his footstool, and you one of them? That's why you can't see. Saul talking about, Lord, Lord, who are you? Like, too late. Should have recognized that back in Jerusalem, homie. You think you messing with? You think you playing with? What, did you think Peter and them going to be fighting you? Oh, no. I'm the church. Jesus said, it's me you're persecuting. You're not persecuting Eric. You're persecuting me. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Jesus don't play. That's why I do not mess with his people. Nope. Amen. And if I mess with them, I go say, Jesus, I know I mess with your people. I'm sorry, man, because you be slapping people blind. I ain't trying to get slapped blind, Jesus. I'm sorry. Don't take me long to repent. Mm-mm. He's slapping my sight out. Jesus be going too far. Johnson, he be going too far. I be like, Lord. He said, yeah, well, he was talking all tough. Let's fight. You can't see, huh? So Paul get up, and the people who was riding with him, check this out, they heard something, but they didn't know what, they didn't see nothing. See how Jesus can show up? Amen, there is, Jesus can show up and you can see, but this clown right here is like, man, I don't see nothing. They didn't see nothing, so they took Paul into the city. Check this out, he go to a man whose name Judas, and Judas live on Straight Street. I'm like, Lord, you just metaphored all the way through the Bible, right? Just Straight Street. See, when Jesus sends you down to get Straight Street, he tells Paul that a man named Ananias is coming to see you. See, Ananias, see, the word of God had spread from the persecution that Paul started. And somebody went to Damascus. Now, this disciple named Ananias was in such a relationship with Jesus that Jesus could show up, cat, and talk to him. And he didn't run through the wall thinking he heard a ghost. Amen? You remember when Peter and them was out there on that water and Jesus came walking up, and it's a ghost! Amen? Now here Jesus is talking to Ananias, and Ananias, you know, telling Ananias, you know, Saul down there on Straight Street at Judas' house, he can't see. Slapped his sight out. But I told him that a man named Ananias is coming to pray for him. He gonna get his sight back. Jesus waited 3 days, Carmen, before he sent Ananias over there. Well, Ananias take 3 days before he get the nerve to go over there.
Right.
Amen. So Ananias, obedient to Jesus, goes over there. He tells Ananias, I will show him, because Ananias like Jesus. I know you all Jesus-y and stuff. When you be slapping people's sight out, I know you be doing that, Lord. Die and get up again. You be doing all that stuff, but this man is down here to gank me. Take me to jail. And you want me to go where he at? Jesus, when you're doing dirt, you don't run to the police. You run from the police. You want me to run to the police. I ain't proselyte to Judaism. I'm a Christian. So Jesus say, look, I just slapped the sight out of him. And he waiting on you to come down there, and he know you're coming. Ain't that something? Jesus can tell you the name of the person who's coming to bless you. Amen. So even though it was three rough days, Paul was encouraged. He was waiting on Ananias. When they tried to bring him food, he like, I ain't eating that. I'm waiting on Ananias. Jesus gave him the name of the man who would come down there and heal him. Amen. The Lord is not ambiguous. All we have to do is carefully study his word, and he will make it plain. Amen. So Ananias goes down there and says, Saul, brother Saul, Jesus, the one you met on the way. So don't get it in your head that you're finna do something to me, because he still got slapping power. The Jesus that you met on the way here, he sent me here so you can receive your sight. And the Bible says it was like scales fell from his eyes. Isn't it amazing that before we're saved, we can't see Jesus? We can't hear Jesus? And he's always been there. Paul said in his sermon in Acts chapter 17 that, you know, God, amen, did all of this. He's talking about where you were born, who was your mom and daddy, who the street you grew up on, all your neighbors and family and friends. He did all of that so that you might reach out for him and perhaps find him, even though he's right there all the time. Amen. When I sat behind that high school looking for Jesus, amen, he was standing right there. So when I finally get saved, I'm like, so you just stood there and let me do that? He said, yeah, well, we thought that was really funny. You was like, Lord, show yourself to me. Show yourself to me, Jesus. I just show yourself so I can know you like my mama, my daddy. Remember how daddy used to pray first? Then it'd be froze by the time he finished. Then it'd be froze, Marcus. You had to take it. And see, we didn't even have a microwave back in the day, right? You had to put it in the oven.
No, he got that right.
Smartwise, he make you not ask him for money either. Because he'd make the money turn into, by the time you get your nickel, it done grew interest. Amen. And then went 20 years, now you got a whole $50 off a nickel waiting on you. Saul receives his sight. Now, this is where it gets kind of confusing in the book of Acts. Some folks say he went straight to Damascus and started preaching. Then the people in Damascus got mad at him and tried to kill him, so they had to let him out over the wall in a basket. But no, Paul went, I'd rather believe that he went first to the deserts of Arabia. Some folks picture it like this. They say that Paul went to Damascus and started preaching. And then they say after they tried to kill him, when they had to let him down over the wall in a basket through a hole in the wall, right?
Yeah.
And he went off to Jerusalem. They say before he got to Jerusalem, that's where he met with Jesus in the deserts of Arabia. So I tell this scholar, and I tell this scholar, I tell you this, he did go preach in Jerusalem and in Damascus, okay? It doesn't really matter to me when he went, but we do know from Galatians chapter 1 that Paul sat at the feet of Jesus. 3 years, 3+ years, out there in the deserts of Arabia, one-on-one with Jesus. He literally saw the risen Christ. Amen. He was literally taught by the risen Christ. Okay. Paul plainly states in Galatians chapter 1 that I did not get this from the apostles who were before me. I didn't get it from my mama or my daddy. I didn't get it from my family or my friends. I got it directly from Jesus. That's why he constantly says an apostle of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Paul, now that he's trained up, taught up, what does that tell you? When you get saved, go to Bible class. When you get saved, go to church. When you get saved, go to Sunday school. When you get saved, crack your Bible open at home. Every Christian in the Bible, the first thing they did was go to Bible class. When you read them 3,000 folks who got saved in the book of Acts, what is the first thing they did? In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, I'm saved, sanctified, set aside to go to Bible class. Because without the word of God, you will not be able to defeat the spiritual wickedness in high places.
Okay.
It's easy to deal with a human being. You get mad enough, you can beat them up, right? But you cannot do that with the devil. Swing at the devil. Devil will be like, oh yeah, they're real crazy. They're trying to hit a spirit. Oh, have swing on. But if you speak that word, amen. Even when the seven sons of Sceva spoke the name of Jesus, them demons' ears popped up and they was getting ready to run. The problem was, Keila, they didn't know Jesus. They said, we've been talking about the Jesus that Paul preached. And they said, so you don't know Jesus, huh? So you just out here. He ain't got no protection. And then they looked real close, Lisa. Oh, you ain't got no Holy Ghost in you. Amen. So one of them slipped, the demon slipped off while they still around here incantating. We can't shout the name of Paul. The demon said, Jesus, I need a permission slip. I want to wreck these boys.
Right.
And guess what? Jesus gave him the permission slip. And the Bible says that one man who had that demon in him jumped on them seven men and beat them so bad, they left the house bloody and naked. Amen. You got to know Jesus for real. Can you imagine the noise you walking by that house, right? And you hear a noise going on. Wow, they must be in there fighting. And then you see seven men come running out naked with toe up bleeding. They're like they got nothing. They got running in their feet, didn't they? Amen. So Paul begins his three missionary journeys. Amen. Paul goes to Jerusalem. He finds some more information about that in Galatians chapter 2. He said, I didn't go down there because I thought they was going to make me, create me, do anything for me. I went down there because Jesus told me to. He said, you need to hook up with them folks down there in Jerusalem. And see, the folks down in Jerusalem, they was like, wait a minute. When they saw Saul coming, what do you think they thought? They don't know about his Damascus Road experience.
Right.
So he had to have a man named Barnabas with him,
right,
to bring him to the disciples and say, I know y'all looking at the abominable. Y'all remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yes.
You remember when your boy Bumbles stepped up in the little elf joint with Bumbles, and they're like, oh, dude, you brought him in the house. They're like, oh, cool, Bumble ain't even got no teeth. He cool now. So y'all need to watch more TV. Y'all don't watch no TV. Amen. So y'all need to watch Rudolph. Y'all reindeer haters. Amen. They ain't got no jingle bells. Y'all, amen. Amen. So Barnabas said, he cool, man. He on team now. They're like, yeah, okay, team. I ain't going to sleep with him in the same room. Because you got to understand that last week he was trying to kill me. Now this week, you only talking about we friends. For real. Okay? So Paul goes there, and then the Greeks in Jerusalem, not the Jews. But the Greeks hatched the plan to kill Paul. So once again, Barnabas had to sneak him out of Jerusalem. He goes back to Tarsus. He stays there for 8 years, right? Because you don't see him in Acts chapter 11. You don't see him in Acts chapter 12. But he shows back up in Acts chapter 13. Barnabas has brought him to the church in Antioch. And they've been teaching and preaching in the church at Antioch. And a whole lot of folks are flipped to the faith in Antioch. One day, they're praying. One day, they're having Bible classes. One day, they're talking to each other. And the Holy Spirit says, set apart for me now Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to. And this is when his missionary work begins. Do you know folks sit around in church for a long time? And then one day the Lord says, set apart for me now Eric Reed for the deaconship that I'm finna call him to. Amen? Amen? So think about yourself. There is a specific work that the Holy Spirit is going to call you to. Amen? While you're in church, the Lord has not called anybody to sit on a pew and chew, and that's all they're going to do. Nobody got, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, everybody got a gift. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, you go on our Christian resource page, or one of them pages, it talks about how to find your spiritual gift. All you got to do is take the spiritual gift test, and you can find out what it is, okay, and then start operating in it. Amen? So Barnabas and Saul now is called to go on their first missionary journey, and I think I'm running out of time. Am I near? Oh, I'm going on? I'm on. Anyway, amen. Last time I saw the kids coming up, I was about an hour into the service, but anyway. So Paul and Barnabas begin their first missionary journey. The first place they go is to a place called Paphos. Paphos. P-A-P-H-O-S. Paphos. That's what I call it. Seriously. And there he runs into his first obstacle. It is a man named Elymas. Okay, or Bar Jesus. His name means sorcerer, magician, really trickster, because he's not for real. And he is counsel to a man named Sergius Paulus. He is the governor of the island. Now, Jesus wants to get the whole island, that whole place, right? So how does he do it? Get the leader. All right? He don't want to kill this man and put Christians in charge of everything. He wants to turn this man into a Christian. And that is why I tell y'all with these kids, amen? Everybody ain't going to be no Bible teacher. Everybody ain't going to be no preacher. Everybody ain't going to be no deacon. Jesus needs some people like Sergius Paulus who run countries to be his people. Amen. Amen. You might be that person that Jesus wants to take to the top of that company to run it. You might be Joseph, right? In a real low position, but God got plans to take you who follow him faithfully to a high position. Amen. When I worked at Kimlon, they don't exist no more because they sold out to somebody else, got a new name. But the man who ran it, Mr. Hunt, he was a Christian. Okay. And all throughout all the paperwork, there was Christian stuff. Why? Because Jesus got a man who owned this company who's a Christian. Devil got rid of him, though. Amen. He got rid of him and brought in True Green. The name True or Green. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. They just got a name. Lord have mercy. They're all about that money. Okay? Paul carries out three missionary journeys. His first obstacle comes in Paphos. He's trying to talk to Sergius Paulus. The Bible describes him as an intelligent man. He wants to hear more about what Paul is talking about. But alignments keep getting in his ear, keep getting in the way. Have you ever tried to witness to somebody and that was slap filled up? See, I use them names because every time I say a real name, I get an email saying, "Why you talking about me in your sermon?" Amen. So if your name Baptist Slap, then I apologize right now. I apologize for your mama naming you that and what you had to go through with that name. Praise the Lord. Amen. He runs into Elimus, and Elimus is in this man's ear, and Paul has enough of it, and you know Paul got a temper. So Paul says, "Look, why are you always trying to pervert the right ways of God?" Well, guess what, homie? No, you know Paul, like, be careful with this, Jesus, because you know last time you slapped my eyes out. He said, "You will be blind for a season." Okay? And somebody's going to have to guide you. And sure enough, right after Paul spoke, a mist came over him, and he was blind. Jesus be knocking the sight out of people. Now he's, watch this, though. Jesus is in heaven, down here on earth in the Holy Spirit in Paul, still slapping the sight out of people. Amen. So when somebody get in your way that you're trying to witness to, say, "Jesus, I'm trying to get there, but they're in the way." You don't have to make them blind, but you need to get them out the way. I got to move real quick. Amen. So once the man is blind, what do you think Sergius Paulus? Sergius Paulus does what? I believe. I like seeing. Amen. See, God does those miracles. That's why we need to have miracle working power. God wants to use those miracles to help people believe. When Peter went down and preached in Samaria, it wasn't the miracles they saw. They said, "We believe because of what he said." The miracles helped them to come to believe, but they believed the word of God. Only the word can save you. A miracle can't save you or put you in the body of Christ, but the word of God can. So now Jesus got Sergius Paulus, and he's described as an intelligent man. Do you think people who lived around there believed that Sergius Paulus, amen, being an intelligent man, do you think they believed because he did? Probably. Probably a lot of folks came to Christ. Now when he leaves there, he goes to a place called Pisidian Antioch, not to be confused with the other Antioch we talked about. This was in modern day Turkey. All of his first missionary journey is in modern day Turkey. And when he gets there, he starts to preach, but the Jews pop up from the synagogue and say, "No, not around here." So he leaves there and he goes to the Lycaonian cities, Lystra and Derbe, and he begins to preach there. Paul notices, I'm going to have to series this one. Paul notices that there is a man and he's dragging himself on a cart. He's on his knees. He's never walked in his life. He got four little raggedy wood wheels. His little wooden axles probably break all the time. And he's just stuck on the ground, can't walk. Paul sees this man. And Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed. And guess what Paul did? He healed him. He said, from where Paul was to where Darius is, he said, "Stand up." And my man stood up. Right? A lot of people believe, but you got to watch people who believe because of miracles. Why? Because they called Paul Barnabas Zeus, and they called Paul Hermes. Why? Because he was the chief speaker. Oh, but they ain't getting this Christian thing, are they? Because they're giving them Greek pagan names, right? So they think some silliness. They're gods. The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Paul says, "No, no, y'all ain't even getting it." So you got to watch it when people say, "I believe." You got to say, "What do you believe?" Wow. Amen? Because they all believed, but they were still believing that Paul had become a part of them, not them a part of him. And so, long story short, as I come to a close for today on this, but I'm going to have to pick it up again next week. Paul says to them, "Look, God has made himself known to you. He has given you rain and sunshine and given you crops and food. It is the Lord God, the true and living God, who created the heavens and the earth. He has made it plain for you to see him. This is why he writes in Romans chapter 1 that God has made it known to them to be able to see his invisible power and Godhead. God has made this known to you. Well, them Jews showed up. Oh boy, the Jews showed up. Now get this, Paul used to be that Jew that was attacking people. Now he getting attacked. And if you remember, and I'm going to close here, if you remember, where did Paul start? At the stoning of Stephen. Well, guess what happened to Paul? Talking about you reap what you sow? Even though, oh, my man got running in his feet. He's like, I got running in my feet. I hear the word Jesus. Hallelujah. Do your dance. Do your dance. Do your holy dance. Hey, man, he's about to get slain in the spirit. Amen. I love that. Look at him running for Jesus. Amen. So what does Paul do? Amen. They get stirred up by those Jews that was hating. Amen. And what happened? They stoned Paul and left him for dead. When they got through stoning him, they supposed that he was dead. So I'm going to get in this sermon. I'm going to get all the way up in this sermon. I'm going up to the front and get in this sermon. This has been happening since the hall, ladies. Yes. Ever since the hall. I used to hold TJ. And then it was Marcus' daughter. She would never leave. Sit right on the step. Amen. And now here we go again. All over again. They stoned Paul. And they left him for dead. But then some of his friends came and found him. And guess what Paul did as we come to a close? He got back up and went back into the city. And we'll pick this up again on next week. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you for Saul Paulus. We thank you for switching him up from Saul the enforcer to Paul the preacher.
Yes, yes.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work that he did. For the work that Peter has done. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless us to be able to be here next week so we can continue learning more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Say amen. Amen.
David's gonna make their way to Jesus no matter where he at.
So we have one requirement. We bear the name, so we declare the name. We called in his name. That means we have his name. So live his name. Not just by what you say. It's not enough. us receive our benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. All God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.
I thought you were speaking.